Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 304.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening, as always. I don't have many updates about any new things going on. I mean, there's always a lot of new things. I'm always working hard at a lot of different things, but I want to dive into this episode a little faster. And real quick, you know, if you're a new person listening on here, obviously this is the 304th podcast lesson episode that I've released. I highly encourage you to go back through all the rest because there's absolute gold in there. And if all you did to learn jazz piano was go through all my podcast episodes, honestly, you'd be better than like 90% of the population out there kind of watching YouTube videos and struggling, because I really tried hard to put just amazing amounts of information into my podcast lessons. And in the beginning, they were all very sequentially ordered, meaning you can kind of go through them, but that's neither here nor there. If you do want an excellent start, go back through all the podcasts and check those out, because they're highly helpful for everybody. The other thing you can do is go to jazzpianoschool.com/system, and you can learn more about my philosophies in this free masterclass about how I teach the Jazz Piano School system that's helped so many people learn jazz piano. It's currently helping thousands of people learn jazz piano in homes, studios, institutions, high schools, and it'll give you amazing, amazing tips and pointers about solo piano, voicings, improv, and give you systems and educational processes to help you learn better. Like, to just like, if you're a person that's like, where should I start? This would be a fantastic masterclass for you to visit or watch, I should say. Again, go to jazzpianoschool.com/system. It's completely free to sign up and watch, and it'll help you tremendously in jazz piano if you're a beginner, even if you're intermediate, even if you're an advanced player. Learning about the educational process that jazz that I teach and teach to my students that I use, it's much different. It's new compared to traditional styles of learning. And it's probably something you've never, ever heard of before, because I invented it. I created my own system, and it's had massive success. So go to jazzpianoschool.com/system if you're interested in taking that free masterclass. Anyway, today I have a really fun episode for you, and it was pulled from some students that that kept asking me this question. I got this question a lot, and actually for the person who asked it, for the couple people who asked it, it's just going to be a replay of essentially what I told you to help people with their improvisation, to help students who get lost. I had this problem a lot when I was first starting out. And when I started to implement this exercise, it helped so much, tremendously. It essentially just fixed the issue. I would get lost in my solos, like get lost where I was in the beat, where I was in the tune. And this really, really helped me hone in onto my improv, and not only, you know, improve my improv, but improve my awareness of where I was in the measure, where I was in the beat. It's a fantastic exercise. It's broken down into two parts in this episode. And I promise you, if you practice this a lot, you will not get lost. You will not get lost again. Okay. It works so well with myself when I was growing up and, you know, on my jazz piano journey, that now I give it to all my students and everyone inside of Jazz Piano School. And these students asked on a group call the other day, on a live Zoom call. And so I gave them this answer, and I showed them this exercise. And so already it's having a great effect on people looking to not get lost in their improv, right? So, and that's a very common thing. I remember asking my teachers that a lot, like, how do you keep track of the beat as you're improvising? And for the most part, the answer I got was, well, I just do. And I was like, huh, Okay. Well, next question, right? So most of them just said, I just do. Like, that was very unhelpful for me. I wish they had given me these exercises. But needless to say, I'm giving them to you now. So you can practice them. My answer to you isn't, I just do. I just keep track of it. My answer to you is, here are some exercises you can practice to get better at not getting lost. Okay? So with that being said, here we go.
All right, so this exercise will be broken down into two steps. And again, as I mentioned, my students and the Jazz Piano School members have reported back to me that this has done absolutely amazing things for their improvisation and helping them not get lost while they're improvising. So again, if you have that issue, I promise you, if you do this a lot, this can solve your problem really easily. So if we're doing a 2-5-1 in the key of C, for example, and let's say we just have one bar each. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's the exercise, okay? The first step is when you start your solo, you're going to cycle through all the different beats possible, just broken down into downbeats and upbeats. So here's what I mean. You're going to start a line on beat one, and you can end it however you want, but your goal is to start a line beat one. Anytime you start a line, you want to start on beat one. Easy enough, right? Very easy. So 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. Let's say I finish there. The next time I start a line, I'm going to start on beat one again. That's my only goal. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, 2 and 3 and 4, 1 and 2 and 3. So anytime you take a little break, obviously, you want to leave space. You're going to start on beat one. Okay, so the first part of this exercise is where we start our improvisational line. So I would practice that, do it without any time first, maybe play bass notes if you want, or just put a metronome on. Always start your line on beat one. The next step is to always start your line on the upbeat of one, on the upbeat of one. So now, if you're playing solo piano, you're playing bass notes, you're going to start on the upbeat of one. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? So anytime you start a line, you're going to start on the upbeat of one. All right? And then you practice that. Okay? And again, cycle through different variations of working on this. So you want to go from most controlled to least controlled. So the most controlled environment is no metronome playing, no pressure, just you counting in your head. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, 2. Depending upon how advanced you are, obviously you can use more bebop approaches. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. Right? You can use more tools. If you're a beginner, just work on diatonic motion up and down, landing on chord tones, right? Starting on chord tones and landing on chord tones. But again, your rhythmic goal is to start your line on the upbeat of one, all right? Then you can put a metronome on, you can put a backing track on, whatever you want. Then we go to beat two. So now we start our line on the downbeat of two. So 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 1, 2. Now I'm ending on the downbeat of one, but you don't have to. You can play longer lines than that or shorter lines. You might just go 1, 2, and 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3. No matter what you do and how much space you take, your goal is always to start on the downbeat of two for this particular section. And as you guessed it, we're just going to keep going. Now we're going to go to the upbeat of two. 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3, and 4, 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 1, 2. Right? So you're getting used to always starting your line on certain beats. I'm not going to go through and demonstrate all of them. Obviously, you'd go to beat three, the downbeat of beat three, the upbeat of beat three, the downbeat of beat four, and the upbeat of beat four. Okay, so this is the first part of exercise. It's when you start. All right, the second part of the exercise is where you finish, okay? Because you, and what this is doing is it's helping you keep track of all the beats, where they are, and it's helping you not get anxious or nervous when you stop in a certain spot or start in a certain spot. This is really gonna help you feel the time in a much different way. So now I'm gonna end on beat one. You can start however you want, but you have to end your line on beat one. You have to stop on beat one. So I might go one, two, three, and four, and one. So I ended on beat one. One, two, three, and four, and one, two, three, four. One, two, three, and four, and one, two, three, and four, and one, two, three, and four, and one. So I am ending all my lines on beat one. Then I would do the same thing. I'm going to end all my lines on the upbeat of one. Okay, I'm going to stop all my lines on the upbeat of one. So one, two, and three, and four, and one, and two, three, four, one, and two, and three, and four, and one, and two, three, four, one, two, and three, and four, and one, and two, and three, and four, and one, and two, and three, and four, and one, and two, three. I'm always stopping my phrase or my line on the upbeat of one. Don't play your left hand if you're still getting used to this and you're just working on this, right? Always keep your right hand alone at first, and then if you want to start to add in chords after you start to get used to this, then do that. You never really want to start with two hands ever if you're working on improvisational exercises because it's going to distract your brain way too much. Okay, that's for the far future. Now, as we did in the first part of the exercise, we're going to work through and start to go through all the beats ending. So now I'm going to end on the downbeat of two, and then end on the upbeat of two, then end on the downbeat of three, and so on and so forth. That's the second part of the exercise. And the last part of the exercise is going to be a bonus part that's going to be for more intermediate to advanced players where you pick the beginning and the end and you try and execute that line. So maybe I'm going to say to myself, okay, I'm going to start on the upbeat of one and I'm going to end my line on the upbeat of three. I'm going to start on the upbeat of one and end my line on the upbeat of three. Right? Now, this can be a short phrase, like meaning I could go one and two and three and... or it can cross over the bar. So this is up to you. So I might go one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and one and two and three. Right? Or I can do an elongated version of this, go over the bar and make it even longer. So one and two and three and four and one and two and three and. Right? So I did a full measure there over the bar line. One and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and one and two and three and. Okay, so now I'm picking and choosing. I'm picking a starting point and an ending point, right? So both points matter. Now I promise you, when you practice this exercise a lot, and again, start slow without a metronome, then maybe put a metronome on, not using your left hand, then maybe start to introduce your left hand depending upon how it's going. Right, you want to go from the least amount of variables while practicing, always, anything you're practicing, you want to go from the least amount of variables to the most amount of variables so that you can really focus in on exercise so you're actually training your hand. Most people sit down at the piano, they try and practice stuff, and they're never really practicing because there's way too many variables. They have the metronome going, they have their left hand going, they're trying to add in extensions, harmonies, when in actuality, you should just be practicing the most simple aspect of whatever you're trying to improve at that moment all by itself, okay? And this is what leads to drastic results and progress in your playing. Otherwise, you're not really going anywhere. You're not really making any progress. All right, so trust me, do this a lot for your improvisation, and I promise you, when you go to improvise through progressions, through tunes the next time, you're not going to get lost because you're going to be feeling the beats. You're going to have a sense of rhythm in yourself. You're going to have a sense of where you're stopping your line, where you're ending your line, and where the downbeats are happening as the chords are changing, okay? Try it out. Get back to me. Let me know, and hopefully it goes well for you, okay? Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next episode.